left off yesterday, just trying to you know, the final touches on the sugya in terms of what constitutes Kabbalah Sachrayus. Everybody agrees that even though the starting point is that chametz has to belong to you in order to be over by Rabbi Matzeh, if it's chametz shel achem shel akum, one is not over by Rabbi Matzeh. If it's chametz shel pikodom, if you might derive from a pasuk, if there's Kabbalah Sachrayus, then one would be over by Rabbi Matzeh. The only thing that's unclear is to what degree of achrayus is the Torah referring to. So we have three possibilities. Some will say to the degree of mir shamachinam, some say to the degree of a, somewhere in the middle shamasachar, and some say to the highest degree of achrayus, namely shoel. So as we mentioned yesterday, the two extreme positions are easy to understand. Either you need complete achrayus, or you need even a partial achrayus. The problem is, why should one draw a distinction in the middle? Why should one say that you don't need complete achrayus, but a little achrayus is no good? So where did that come from? So we discussed yesterday the famous Shittas of Rambam about the chiyuv of a shomer pshia. Well, basically, the Rambam develops this idea called a pshia, you know, kemazik. The fact that when a shomer is negligent, he has to pay for the damage. It's not really pashas shomrim. It's pashas hamazik. It's a different sugya. It's a common of metzia. And for that reason, even those items that are not subject to shmira, such as karta, vodim, shtaros, the pashia would be chayavon. So we fine-tuned it a little bit yesterday by saying that you have to be a shomer. If you're not even a shomer, like if it's a shmir b'baylem, that's not a shomer altogether. But if you're a shomer and you're pashia, then you're dino kibazim. So that's the case that maybe the Rambam and Chametz Matzah is l'shitasa as well. The Rambam says that in order to be over by Rabbi Matzah, you have to have Kabbalah achrayus. It has to be a chiyuv that shmira in nature. It has to be a achrayus to kechiyuv. The fact that you're chayav als pasheya, it's not really a chishomrim. Haraya, that applies even to those things that are not subject to the parish of shmira. So the fact that there's a degree of quote-unquote achrayus, because you're a pasheya bedavar, that's not enough to be a chayav you in by Rabbi Matzah. It's like Moshe Vadome. If you have a bottle of schnapps in your house, I'm standing 100 feet away looking at the bottle of schnapps. It's yours and your house. I'm not over by Rabbi Matzah. But if I would take a sledgehammer and smash it, I would be chayav. It's a mazik to the chiyuv. The only time that the chiyuv by mazik kicks in on somebody else's chametz is if it's a shemidik chiyuv. It's not a shemidik chiyuv anyway. It's a mazik to the chiyuv. So that kind of chiyuv doesn't create the degree of achrayus that's necessary not to be over by Rav Eman. So maybe that's the beer of Shittas Rambam. The Rambam Nuchas Chametz Matzah has to be understood through that eyes of that Rambam in Uchas Chirus. Everybody agrees that at least to some extent there is a din of a Kabbalah Sechrayas that can be rechayiv you on by Rav Eman. And this sets the stage for where the last akuda in our sugya. And it's a sugya in Pesachim of Chaf Tesem in Aleph on the 11th, on the 10th, sorry, the 10th of the Mer Mikomos. The Gemara has one of the perhaps so startling Havaminas in Maseches Pesachim. It's only a Havamina, it doesn't make it to the Maskana, so nobody starts to get the wheels turning about possibilities, Lamaisa. It was the following possibility of the 10th of the Mer Mikomos. Masor d'ri'iyah shalcha'iyah ta'rov ta'rov shalachem shalgavoa. Avsor d'yachila shalcha'iyah ta'ochem ta'ochem shalachem shalgavoa. There are two different sugyas regarding chametz. There are the issur of owning chametz by Rav Matzah part of Pesach. And then there's the issur of eating chametz. How much are the two connected? So the Gemara has a startling Havamina. Maybe we should have the following drasha. Just as when it comes to by Rav Matzah, the halacha says, you're only over if it's yours, but it's shalachim, if it's a goy's chametz, you're allowed to have it in your house. So too, if it's a goy's chametz, catch this one, you're allowed to eat it also. We can't have Mr. Brown inviting us anymore, but the new Mr. Brown, everybody's name, Mr. Profi, I think was his name. So the non-Jews can invite me for a meal. I'm going to eat his chametz. Gavaldik. What a way to celebrate Pesach. Oh, whole new twist on Pesach programs. Regular chametz. Forget about make-believe chametz. Real chametz. As long as it's owned by the guy. Crazy. Nuts. So the Gemara says, don't worry. It's not true. It was a wild kasha. Havamina. It wasn't even real. So comes Tosus and says, wait a second. Tosus says, even though eventually, of course, the Gemara rejects this. It says, it never was really true. But the Gemara did discuss it. The Gemara had it at least as a model, as a possibility, and the Balei HaTosfos just took every single line of the Gemara very seriously. Even the Havamina that eventually get tossed away, Tosfos took it very seriously and wanted to know, what would the case be exactly? Just walk me through, what would that, in that fantasy land of eating a non-Jew's chametz, just describe to me, says Tosfos, what that would have meant. So the Kosher says Tosfos on the 11th of the Rambam Kumas. The Iyemshar im lo yehe shalom b'shas achila. Says Tosfos, how could you eat chametz that's not yours? It doesn't exist in the Idiom Amiris. The minute that you're eating the chametz, by definition, it's yours. Why is it by definition yours? So Tosfos goes through the cheshbon. The Iyem Naslu HaNochri is the case that the non-Jew is giving to you. The non-Jew invited me to his house for dinner, and he's serving me a piece of bread. So when he hands me the chametz to eat, so I'm kind of the chametz. So the chametz belongs to me. So if he's giving it to me, I'm receiving it from him. I'm putting it into my mouth. So it's my chametz. So it's my shochat yet aichal. So obviously that's not the case. But if gozel minochri, Ellie, you're going to tell me that the wild, crazy hamamina again that never made it past the next line of the Gemara, but that wild hamamina that you're allowed to eat a non-Jew's chametz, that means I stole it from a non-Jew. He didn't give it to me, Bershus. I stole it from him. Says, wait a second. Says, but if you stole it, then it's Kabbalah Sachrayas, a Gaza that is Chayvet Achrayas. I have to return it. Why is that any different than a Chomet Shopikadon? If a non-Jew gives Reuven Chomet to watch, so once Reuven is holding on to it, once Reuven is watching it, he's Chayvet Achrayas, so he's also opened by Reuven Motzei. The whole model of this wild fantasy, Havamina, to permit you to eat a non-Jew's chametz is because we're comparing the issue of eating to owning. It's not going to be any different than owning. So even when it comes to owning chametz, where there is a halacha of you're allowed to have a non-Jew's chametz, but if there's kabbalas achrayis, that trumps everything. Kabbalas achrayis is dino kishaloi. So it says, Tosfos b'marashach, I don't have the Gemara in the corner. I don't know what the case of the Gemara was. And at the end of the day, it's not really true. At the end of the day, it's not la halacha, but the Gemara spent time discussing it and addressing it and rejecting it. That means it existed. It means it was a case. There was something to talk about. It was up for discussion. So what was the case that the Gemara was talking about?
It's an afkamina that the Gemara could have be implying that an inyan of hana, that you're allowed to have hana from chametz from someone that's owned by someone else. Because...
No, we could have possibly construed a case. We could have made up a case. That's possible. Means I'm walking past the non-Jew's house. I'm smelling his chametz. You're right. The only problem is that the Gemara here says explicitly that this refers to achila as well. The Gemara could have set up the baal of hanor, but it doesn't. It even talks about achila proper. So it tells us this mummy's stuck in the corner. We can't find a case. I mean, how much time are we going to spend trying to find a case that doesn't exist? The Tosfos says, no, we got to find the case. It does, it works, it works, it works. Try to finagle a case. For our purposes, it doesn't matter what the case is. What interests us is Tosfos' rejection of the case of Gozel Menachri. Tosfos said, the Gozel Menachri, so that's not going to count. Why? That's the line that interests us. Tosfos made an equation on the board for us. Tosfos said, if a Shomer HaSachomitz is over by Rabbi Motzei, a Gozel HaSachomitz is also over by Rabbi Motzei. That's important for us. But Lechora, it's a Milsna Pshita. It's obvious. It's Kabbalas Achrayis. You can't get more Achrayis than a Gazel. It's hard for us to conceive of somebody who's more responsible for something than a Gazel. Eshay Bechinam, Chayaviyah Potahiyah, Shamasachapah, Chayaviyah Potahiyah, Shol. A Gazel is Chayav Bechol Dor Vedover. If I steal something from you and a tsunami comes and hits, a bolt of lightning hits it, the craziest thing happens to the item, I still have to pay you back. That's Mishnayis Gemara. That's like most of the Pshita mode. So comes tells and says something that seems to be very logical, that if it's a Gozel Chametz, of course that's called mine. That's called Kabbalas Achrayis. So not...
Responsible for the value of what the object is. When he steals something, he's responsible for the object that it is, the value of the object. But he's not really responsible per se for the object itself.
Okay. So we're going to try to fine tune on Israel's ready onto something, but possible, almost a nuance of lomdish, a difference within Gaza and Shoma that may make all the difference. Maybe. You're ready halfway to the second terence. Let's see if we get to the first terence first. So that would say what Tosu says is such a milsa of sheet that doesn't even, all al adas, anyone should argue. There is an opinion Rishab that disagrees. There is a sugya in Baba Kama that Tzadivav where the Mishnah talks about if Reuven steals chametz from Shimon before Pesach, and then after Pesach, he returns the chametz. Reuven breaks into Shimon's house before Pesach, steals all the schnapps, and the schnapps sits in Reuven's house for the whole week, and then the day after Pesach, he returns. He was so inspired by Yom Tov, he decides to close the tshuva, and he gives back all the schnapps. So now Shimon turns around and says, but you give me back chametz, that's awesome, I know, what am I going to do with it? It's chametz sh'avol over Pesach. The Mishnah says, no, omol ha'resh yachol fanech. So Reuven has the ability to say to him, I'm returning it to you. Again, that's a loaded sugya in Baba Kama, when you can say it, when you can't say it, why you can say it, why you can't say it. So we just want to extract one nekuda from that sugya. It's clear from that Mishnah that the chametz became asabana. If the chametz didn't become asabana because the chametz of a besef, then what's the harish shachal fanech? Of course he's returning it. So just because the chametz became asabana, that doesn't necessarily mean anyone was over by Rav Motze. So that's what the Shimon Gubetz's quotes, that it could be almost a little bit of a split. That mitam the chavts of the chometz may become osabana, even though there's no finger to point to any gavra violated by Rabbi Matze. Who are the two possible gavras to violate by Rabbi Matze? One is the owner. I mean, it wasn't really his fault, but he may have theoretically the onus been over by Rabbi Matze, or the gazlan. So comes the Shimon Gubetz's and negates both of them. Take a look at the 12th of the Ram Kamas. Harami Sarkasta. Nobody really violated by Rabbi Matze. The Nigzel didn't violate for some reason. The Gazlan didn't violate. Nobody violated. So why did the Chometz become Asim? No. So you got to learn the series of Chometz from Pesach to figure out why that phenomenon is true. But the point that we want to extract is, why isn't the Gazlan over? Isn't he Chaya B'Achrayas? Didn't Tosfos say it's a Nus the Pshit Ad-Moid? The Gazan is Chayv and Achrayas. So how could the Shimon Gubetz's argue? Chayv Tosfos is right. How in the world could somebody say that a Gazan is not called Chayv and Achrayas? It's Ein Luch Achrayas Gedol Mizum. So what's going on? What's the Machlekes of Rishon? Why is it that according to Tosfos, Gazan is for sure Chayv and Achrayas, whereas according to the Shita, not so simple, not so partial. Gazan doesn't really meet the mark of being Chayv and Achrayas. So there is a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, the 13th and Rambam comes. So the Goy Anas Shehivkin Chemtzo Eitz Yisrael, a non-Jew, was a tough guy, comes out, knocks on a Jew's door, Erev Pesach, and says, listen, I have a lot of chametz for you to watch for me. So the Jew says, nicely, you know, my nice non-Jewish neighbor, you know, it's day before Passover, we don't really like that chametz. And the non-Jew says, that's very nice, but tough luck. And the Jew starts to argue a little bit, and the non-Jew tells him where he can go with his arguments, and he says, here's the chametz, you better be watching it. So go on a shift, get chametz to Yisrael. In your day, Israeli, Shem Avro Nigra Mechaiva L'Shalman, if he knows that he's going to be held financially, I mean, get the non-Jew is not, we're not afraid the non-Jew is going to kill you, but we're afraid that if and when something happens to the chametz, he's going to make you pay, even though you didn't really want to watch it. The code for the Onsel L'Shalman, Avro Mishlo Kibbal Acharayas, Harei Zechaiv L'Vara, even though the Jew was not Mechabal Acharayas, he didn't want the Achrayas. It was forced upon him. It doesn't matter. Tachlis, he's Chayv and Achrayas. This Chometz is going to speak to dollars and cents. If something happens to this Chometz, he's going to have to reimburse the non-Jew, whether he willingly accepted it or is being forced into it. That's called Kabbalah Achrayas. Kabbalah, but that's called Chayv and Achrayas. And that is enough to violate by Rav Motzis. So what the Jew must do is throw out the Chometz, and the non-Jew is going to come back a week later to say, where's the chametz? I'm sorry, it's not here anymore. And he's going to have to pay him. Tough luck. What can you do? Put it onto his list of Pesach expenses. So the Rambam says that Kabbal Zacharias doesn't only refer to a willing Kabbal Zacharias. Even a Kabbal Zacharias that's forced upon you also constitutes a Kabbal Zacharias. So the Ravid says the whole thing is not true. And the Ravid has a whole shtickle to explain why the Gemara that the Rambam got it from, with soldiers, with the non-Jews, the Ravid doesn't think that is necessarily correct. So the question is, how is this Rambam and Ravid potentially relevant for us? So the chumra we see in this Rambam and the Ravid is that, at least according to the Ravid Shita, Kabbalah's Achrayus is critical. Not being in the state of Achrayus is so important, but it's Kabbalah's Achrayus that's the critical thing. And if you don't accept the body Achrayus willingly, that's not enough to be b'chayim by Rabbi Motzei. We can take that Ravid and go back now to the case of the Goslin. When I steal, the Jew steals chametz from the non-Jew, the Jew steals chametz from somebody, he's not mekabel achrayus. He's in a state of achrayus, but he's not mekabel achrayus. What put him into the state of achrayus? Last week's parsha, the heishes exilah shegozel. The Torah says that you have to return the gazela, which is tantamount to saying you gazlan are chayv in achrayus. So that's the same as the non-Jew forcing you to be chayv in achrayus. So if you hold like the Ravid that it's not being in the state of achrayus that's so important, it's the kabbalah achrayus that's critical. So then we can begin to understand why the Shittu Kibetz says the Rami Sarkas are not so simple, not so fast. We're not so convinced that a Goslin is actually going to be chayv by Rami Motzei because he was never really the kabbalah achrayus at himself. So if we're correct, then this machlokes between Tosfos and Pesachim and Shittu Kibetz and Bava Kamma is really just a restating of the Rambam and the Ravid. That means what constitutes achrayus vis-a-vis by Rabbi Motzei? Is Kabbalah's achrayus critical, or just being in the state of achrayus, even without being Kabbalah, is also sufficient? But he didn't really. The Goslin was not interested in watching. He's not interested in washing this item. He's interested in stealing the item. The Torah slaps him with Behesha's exertion goes on. So it's not exactly the same as the Nebuchadnezzar, the poor Jew who Erev Pesach has a goy nachlis do and deposit 40 bottles of schnapps. Right. It's not exactly the same, but they're both lacking that willing, they ruts on that Kabbalah Shabbat. But maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe it's a little bit of a different beer in the sheet that Bikubat says. When we introduced the sugya of Goslin, so we said, a Goslin is the highest level of Achrayus. Ein lecha Achrayus gedol mizo. After all, the Heishas and Zeh Goslin. So we may have overdone it a little bit. There are Rishonim who already developed an idea. It's more of a common issue than a Pesachim issue. The Rishonim who developed an idea that a Goslin is not really a Shomer. A Goslin is not chayv to be Shomer an item. A Goslin is chayv to be Meshiv an item. Goslin, he never accepted about himself Shemira. So the fact that he's chayiv in every last degree of anything that happens to the item, that's neveya, that emanates from the parish of the sugya of the heishiv as exil shagozel. It's like Marshal Amar David Adom. If you take a look at the 14th of the Marmikomos, so Tosfos in Bava Kamma and Vav Beis, in the middle of a technical sugya, the Gabi Gezela. So Tosfos writes, the 14th of the Marmikomos, the Matzino Devarim. You can have scenarios that a shomer is chayav for something, and a gazlan is potter. Sounds very bizarre. The gazlan is making reference to a complicated sugya in the ninth paragraph of Kama, where the Mishnah actually talks about different cases that if I steal something from you, and then I returned it, and it's not quite up to par when I return, I could sometimes say to you, Horesh HaKholof HaNecha. It's yours, take it. It doesn't matter that it went down in value. So basically, the Mishnah Gemara explained, it depends how much the item has changed. Let's say, Lamashal, if I steal a barrel of fruit from you, and then the fruit is rotten through, after a week, the fruit rots through and through and through and through, and I want to pass off on you the rotten fruit. So the Mishnah says, come on, you can't do that. Here, Kiva, Paris, Bakulon, it's a different pre, it's a different fruit. It used to be a barrel of edible apples. Now it says a barrel of rotten apples. So the fruit has totally changed. So you can't say Reish Chol Fanech anymore. Now that fruit, the rotten fruit, belongs to the Goslin. It was kind of a shinui in a sense. So he owns that rotten fruit. And now he has to reimburse. Kol Goslin Misham Gishas Gizela. But what if it's not as clear as that? What if I stole a barrel of fruit? And some of the fruit, gets a little, it's been sitting around for a little bit long, but it's not rotten through and through. It's got a little brown over here, a little, it's not a little mushy over here. It's not terrible. It's a cube of a mixus. So it comes to Gemara and says, it's only a cube of a mixus. So we can't really say that the fruit has undergone a tremendous sea change and now it becomes the Goslin's. It's still basically Shohen Nixel. I went down in value a little bit. So the halacha is when I steal an item from you and I'm returning the same item, the fact that it depreciated a little bit, that's a reish chol fanachal. It's you. I'm not a nice guy. And, you know, I really did a terrible avlok because if I wouldn't have stolen, you probably would have made it to Apple Store. Everything would have been great. But at the end of the day, I am returning the item that I stole from you. So I have the ability to say a reish chol fanachal. So Tosfos points out that that ability to say a reish chol fanachal, as long as the change hasn't been dramatic, that applies even to Pshia, even though it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether I was negligent or not. At the end of the day, I can say those words of Reish Chol Fanecha. Aval Shomer, says Tosfos, Kevin Shem is Chayim B'Kachsha the Lo Hadra of Rekiva Kulam and Asa of Pshia, Kvachi is Chayim B'Kachsha the Hadra of Rekiva B'Tosan, Kevin the Kivalov Shemir, the Lamla is Chayim B'Zek Mamazek. Says Tosfos, what would the similar halacha be by a Shomer? You asked me to watch your apples, and you're coming back in 3 days, so I thought I'd watch your apples. So I leave your apples in a very hot place. I leave your apples in a place where they tend to get rotten right away. I don't wash them properly. And then when you come back, the apples are not totally ruined, but they've definitely depreciated. So the mafkid says, you are pishah, you left there. You don't put the apples in a nice, cool place. You left them out in the hot sun. So the apples are getting ruined. So I say, Hareish Chol Fanecha. That's not a Reish Chol Fanecha. A Shomer doesn't say those words, Hareish Chol Fanecha. Hareish Chol Fanecha is a halacha that emanates from Beheshiv HaSagzela. There's a Chiv of Hashav HaSagzela. So calls bond that I can be Meshiv the Chefetz, the Chefetz that I stole. So the Gaza walks away. Beheshiv HaSagzela. The Shomer is not Chayiv and Hashav HaSagzela, as we all thought to say. A Shomer has to do Dinei Shmira. He has to be careful not to be Pesheya. He has to be careful if he's getting paid, make sure it's not stolen. If he's a show, make sure an owner's done it. He has certain degrees of responsibility. That if he was negligent in his responsibility, and now something happened to the item, he's going to be held to task for that. He cannot hide behind those three magic words, HaReish Chol Fanecha. His chiv was a chiv achrayas. He was mekabel achrayas. The Gazan was mekabel achrayas. The Gazan, the Torah slapped him with the mitzvahs of Torah, HaReish Chol Fanecha. So according to the Tosfos, you see the Gazan and Shomer are not identical. 9 out of 10 times, a Gazan is worse off, is more chayv than a Shomer. But that 1 out of 10 times, it's the other way around. It's a different chiv. It's not one more or less than the other. The two different mechayvim. A Shomer is mekabel me'atzmo kabbalas achrayas. So he's chayv in the kabbalas achrayas Shomer. The Gazan, it was never mekabel with me. The Gazan is chayv. So that sometimes works for you, sometimes works against you. If that's the case, then maybe that's what's going on in the sugi as well. So remember, the first time I heard this yisod was back in Mordechai Marcus. So remember, he developed this yisod for us. That maybe the reason why the Shibukubetz quotes from the Rami Sarkasta that the Gazlan is not over by Rami Matre is because the Gazlan is not a Shomer. The Torah was Machayiv a Shomer by Rami Matre. The Torah is Machadish a Shomer is Chayiv by Rami Matre. A Gazlan is not a Shomer. So he just said it. A Shomer is a Shomer. A Gazlan is a Shomer. So the Chiv HaShomer Shabel is not called the Chiv HaChrayi Shabel. It's the Chiv HaChrayi Shabel. That's what's the engine that's driving the violation by Rami Matre. So a couple of points. Everybody agrees that a basic halacha, two basic halachas that. Number one, the chametz basically has to be yours, or at least not the non-Jews, in order to be over by Rami Matre. There is definitely an exception to that rule called Kabbalas Achrayas. How do you define Achrayas? Is Achrayas the degree of Shamachidim degree, whether Shamasachid degree, whether Shol degree? That's the three of Achrayas that we share. Whether Achrayas can be forced upon you is Machlekes the Rambam derived. Whether a Gazlan is also considered to be Chayv and Achrayas, it was Machlekes doesn't should be Kabbatis. What the Bir Adover of that last Machlekes is that just a restating of the Rambam derived, or is there something different going on here? It's Gazlan versus Shomer, Shomer versus Achrayas, are two different concepts of Bidim Avnis, and they have different results in Orachayim and Uchas Chametz. So again, those are the details a subject to discussion. So the emphasis, you may notice on the Marma Kamas, even though we quote unquote finished the Sugya, there are still a few more Marma Kamas left on the Sugya. The next Marma Kamas are really part of a different, totally different angle of the Sugya, which hopefully will come back in a little bit of a different Gilgal in the after Pesach. So I don't feel terrible that we didn't have enough time to finish this, but it's still hopefully around the bend. So after Yom Tov, we'll pick up with some more by Rav Moshe Sugyas after Yom Tov, and a little other things as well. We'll branch out to other sugyas, even non-Pesachim per se sugyas that appear in the first Pesach. So. That's a Shomer. The other Torah calls the Shomer.
Thank you, Rabbi. Rabbi.